My name's Eric, I'm an addict. My clean time date is January 15th, 1992. And my home group is Simon Cavey in Aarhus. You know, it's nice to be here, see some old faces and old friends, and see Dan. Good to see you, Dan. And hopefully meet some new people, too, you know. I want to congratulate anybody who's firing some length of clean time. And especially anybody who's had a relapse lately, you know. I mean, it's no shame in having a relapse. I think the problem is it's not coming back to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it takes a lot of courage to come back. And I think that's why we say keep coming back, you know. And I think it's really important. I can feel there's a good spirit here, the good atmosphere here in Esbjerg. I've been grateful to Thomas for calling me up a couple of times, you know. That's very nice. You know, they asked me to speak about the traditions of 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when Dorda read up the traditions just now, you know, it says that, you know, the ties that bind us together are stronger than the ones that are pulling us apart. You know? And when she read that, the ties that bind us together are the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. You know? And what pulls us apart is what we all have inside of us. It's our egos. You know, especially if you're in service, you know. And that's what it's all about. You know, I didn't know anything about this. But all, you know, I knew this program, it said Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I loved narcotics at that time. That was where I wanted to go, you know. And I think, you know, I think besides my family, my most... The thing that changed my life probably the most is when I got clean. You know, I had lived to use and used to live my entire life since I was a teenager, growing up in the USA. And chemicals were just part of my life. You know, everybody I knew was doing chemicals, and the people I looked up to were doing chemicals, and all. Everybody, you know, the people I looked up to had big cars, and, you know, it's like, this is smart, you know. I didn't feel it was any problem in my life. And some years later, it turned into a problem. I ran out of money. But, you know, sometimes I see people or I knew people then who, you know, they were selling dope. They didn't have any problems. You know, I was jealous, you know. Anyway, when I came here, I didn't know anything about the traditions. I mean, I knew they sent that basket around and took my money, and I didn't even know where it went. You know, I thought, God, all these Narcotics Anonymous meetings all over the world, and they're giving money. Where does all this money go? I was so curious, because I couldn't figure it out. They must be making millions someplace, you know. I'm just wondering, where does it all go, you know. When I came into the rooms, you know, the big gimmick for me was the steps. And the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. But I was walking on one leg. You know, to walk into these rooms and to keep a program, you got to walk on two legs. You know, we got the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. So I hobbled through the 12 steps for a lot of years. You know, and one of the things that was, you know, back to this, what tears us apart is, I thought I was a smart guy. You know, I thought I had all the answers. Nobody could tell me anything. And that was my ego coming up again, you know. I think what the 12 steps for me has just sort of like, it helps me have more empathy for other people. It helps me to get out of the way. It helps me to try to listen what other people say. It helps me to have what's interesting in the 12 steps, the glue that holds all the steps together is the so-called higher power, right? And after the first step, you know, it's a higher power might hear, God might hear, and stuff. I thought higher power, higher power is HP. I thought it meant hanky-panky, to tell you the truth, you know. I thought this is a good place. I'll just, you know, concentrate on hanky-panky that I'm not concentrating on drugs, right? So that was, I did that for a lot of years. And... I thought I was doing all the right stuff. You know, I was going to meetings, and I had a sponsor, and I had some clean time. Yeah. So one day, wasn't that many years ago. My sponsor lives in Copenhagen. I have a son who lives in Copenhagen. We got together, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we were talking about, you know, and he's a great sponsor, you know, but he doesn't really ask me anything about, like, going to meetings or anything like that. But I know he cares. And I asked him, you know, this guy has, like, 100 years clean time, you know. And I said, you know, we were talking, and he says he doesn't really go to that many meetings anymore. Now, I had always looked up to this guy. And I said, well, you know, K. Pasa, what's going on? And he said, well, it's about the traditions. He says it's about the traditions. He feels funny sometimes because he doesn't know what to do about it. I think in my experience with the tradition, I wish I actually didn't know the traditions. I would rather be in denial. I used to go to these meetings and I'd get pissed off because there's, you know, you go to meetings and you know who's going to share and you know what they're going to say and blah, blah, blah. You know, we all heard it and stuff like that. You can look around. I was sitting with this girl from Aarhus and so we say, hey, who do you think's going to share tonight? So she says, well, he'll share, she'll say, he'll share. And they did, you know, right away. So we were pissed off before the meeting even started, you know. And if we didn't get pissed off, we'd get pissed off after we heard what they were saying because blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I figured, oh, I'm coming to the right place because when I get pissed off, the adrenaline starts flowing. You know, I think this is good for me. That's my drug of choice. I want to get pissed off. And I'm at the right place because I keep getting pissed off. I think what happens, you know, after I talk to this gentleman about the traditions, and I never really had thought about it, you know, this or that or this. You know, we hear them like door to write them up. We hear them, but it's like, you know, what do they really mean? And, you know, this NA unity, well, it shows right here. I mean, here we are in Esbjerg, there's a meeting. Got some big meetings here in Esbjerg. Go anywhere in Denmark, there's probably a meeting within driving distance. You know, and people are volunteering in their time and their love and there's no... You know, and I think that's the unity of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. I mean, without even, and I think that's the attraction, you know. I think the unity is also, I'm going to get dirty. Okay, there was, you know, I was in Aarhus 2 weeks ago, where that's where I go to my, you know, I think what it is, the unity is the atmosphere of the meetings. Right, and there was a meeting. It was about being young and being in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's different if you're like, you know, under 25 than if you're an old timer, have some time. You know, especially about alcohol, it can be a challenge when you're in school or whatever. You know, and everybody's, you know, getting pissed and stuff like that. And this. It can be, it's like this woman came, and I hadn't seen her for some years, sweet lady, and the topic was being young in Narcotics Anonymous, and people were, you know, this guy was 21, he started sharing, you know, and shared his experience, and there were some other people there, and they, and I think what's nice is, like, it doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you can relate to the emotionally and have a history of drugs and alcohol together. So that's a lot to talk about. It's like we're old ladies talking about our recovery, you know, sitting in the hospital talking about, well, you know, this, or how did you take a shit today, or whatever, whatever. So anyway, this woman came, and what happened, and she's innocent. It's not that. This is why I wish I didn't know the traditions. And she dropped the bomb about her husband's active and her two kids and yabba dabba. You know, it was Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil right there, you know. And da-da-da-da-da, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, and I said to myself, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to give her a break. If she comes to the meeting next week, I'll know she's serious. You know, people came up, gave her a big hug, said, keep coming back. This is, you know, this is the right place. This is addict heaven. You know, she's clean and stuff like that. She'd been in the program. I said, fuck, give her a week. Come, if she comes next week, I'll go up apologizing for the thoughts that I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Right? She didn't come back. So I thought to myself, well, I think sometimes the atmosphere is just a structure. Because, you know, when we're active, we're totally unstructured. You know, we come here, there's a structure. And there's a way of, you know, there's, you know, I was always under the assumption you can talk about anything in Narcotics Anonymous and people would say thank you. And I don't feel that anymore. I think there's like, you know, if you have problems with your marriage and you know, you talk to some woman after the meeting and she'll, you know, she can't tell you what to do. She can't give you a recipe on what to do with her marriage. But maybe she can talk about what she's done in her life for how many years. And how difficult it could be living with an active person. You know, that's great. What I felt was, though, and I know I'm harsh, it really took a long time to hear that story. You know, it was like a life story in a way. You know, and I thought that, but that's sad because the people who were here, these young people, I don't know what's young here, under 25, under 30, I don't know. Really had a lot to share. And there were some young people who really, in my opinion, really had some important things to say, how difficult it can be to come into an NA meeting for the first time. And there's some guys there who like Nils, you know, these old timers and stuff like that. They think, what do we have in common? Jesus H. Christ, you know? And we find out we have a lot of common. So what I thought she was doing, she was breaking that tradition about the atmosphere. I had nothing against it for what she was saying. I think she's a sweet lady and I think whatever. But what happened was, and if I look at the clock, it took her like 15 minutes and that meant there was 15 minutes less for the people who really had something to say about the topic. Right? And now we knew we were going to do that topic the week before. I mean, like when Nils told me he spoke to one of my sponsees about I was going to speak here, my sponsee didn't even know it was me. I don't tell my sponsees. Only if I need a ride, I use them. But anyway, besides that. So anyway. But, you know, this, and I think to myself, am I being intolerant? I didn't really think, and I think, no, Eric, just your gut feeling told you the right thing. It's not being intolerant. It's just being like having a structure again. You know, they say this is a spiritual program. You know, it's not a religious program. And I think these traditions are very, very spiritual. That's why it took me so long to really talk or find out about it. Me, I'm about spiritual. It's a happy meal. So it was really difficult for me to really understand or put myself in this position, you know, of like what's going on with these traditions. Okay. Facebook. I would assume a lot of people except Thomas are on Facebook. You know, and it says, like, what does it say here? Yeah, our number 11, radio, films, and internet, right? And, I mean, I love social networking. I love Facebook, you know. I spend, like, as much time out as it. I'm always wondering, and I had a discussion with, actually, Nielsen's sponsor about this. And, you know, if people want to break their anonymity on Facebook, that's fine. You know, I don't care. I just don't want them to break mine. You know, so it's the whole thing. It's not even, it's you know, and they say that's a spiritual part of this program, you know. So, I mean, what I can't understand is if every one of your friends on your friends list is an NA, then you're safe. But as soon as you click somebody else who's not your friend clicks I like it, that opens up a whole other door, you know. So the thing is, I don't think there's any rules about it, but because of the second step where you get some sut vernuft to pay, some common sense, right? We have to be aware of what we're saying. I think so anyway. I mean, you know, when people say, well, I'll see you at the NA meeting on Wednesday, I think, well, why did they say that? I mean, hey, God, can't you write a message to somebody in some mesquite? Well, you're putting it on your wall. You know, everybody and their brother's going to see this. Maybe the person who's brother of Alex's sister's cousin, who they work for, doesn't know that Alex is a user, ex-user, or whatever. We'll see this and think, what the fuck? Jesus, he's taking care of my mother, and I find out he's a junkie. This is crazy. You know? What am I doing here? This is really putting people in bad situations. I think what we have to do is really be aware of what we're writing on Facebook. I don't know if that's the reason you do it. You know, and you know, in the beginning, I was like a friend with Bill and Bob and Jupa Hapa here and NA FaceNet by here and Yapa Dapa Do, man. I had like 18,000 likes of, you know, man, I was like, you know, oh man, you know, da 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 da. And then I thought to myself, what am I doing? You know, I had put something on and it was a picture that a woman I knew took for me from the 80s. And I had it in a photo album. And stupid as I am, I said it too. I said, you know, I have NA to thank for being clean today. You know? Now, this is a woman that I hadn't known since high school. Probably will never see her again. So she writes back under the picture, what's NA? And I was so dumb, I jumped right into it. So I explained this whole thing, you know, about it's for, you know, addicts, recovering addicts and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, oh no, man, because now all her friends are going to see it too, you know. But it doesn't make a difference. It's not like I'm going to lose my job because of it. But I think somehow that anonymity is a very spiritual thing, you know. You know, I love Facebook, you know. I love being in contact with my kids and my, you know, high school buddies I never thought I'd see again. And then when I see their picture, I think, oh my God, I haven't seen him in like 45 years or something like that. I think, oh my God. But anyway, I think it's just being aware. It's not an either or situation. It's not either being or either not. It's just being aware of what we're doing. You know, and this is why we have recovery. It's to be aware of our actions, you know. You know, I can come in here and yabba dabba do, you know, but when I go out of this place, it's the way I treat my family or my girlfriend or your kids, or, you know, it's when you really can have that empathy for other people. You know, I have a lot of empathy for that woman with her problems. I don't think she should have dropped it at that meeting. I think that sort of like destroys the atmosphere of the meeting. And basically, it's like all the focus, instead of these people who were 25 or something or under, was moved over to her. You know, so then that was what happened. So anybody who was young, and then they had to pull it back and shift it over again, you know. Down, you know. So it sort of was, I think it was very self-centered, to tell you the truth. You know, I thought it was very distasteful to come to a meeting once every 10 years or once every 5 years and drop a bomb like that. It's okay. The thing is, what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is tolerance. You know, it takes a lot of tolerance, you know. I mean, I used to be fucked up on drugs and alcohol. Now I'm just fucked up. So I have to remember that all the time, you know. No matter how long I'm in recovery, I fuck up every day. I say things that I regret, you know, and my wife will throw frozen linzer. When she was smoking, she would throw ashtrays after me. Now she throws frozen plusers. I don't know what it is. You know. And I think that's normal about being, you know, in a relationship. You know. I think that's part of being in a relationship is being able to fight and then make up. It's normal to be in service and not agree with everybody. I mean, anybody who's in service, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful to people who do service. I think it takes a lot of courage, you know. Or just putting on an NA convent here. I'm sure it took a lot of hours for people to put that on. You know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of love and a lot of tolerance. You know, we all think we've got great ideas. You know, I was my own sponsor for years, you know. I thought that was the ticket, you know. Anyway. So I'm back to my sponsor. He says, well, you know, it's these traditions. So what? And I, you know, and I thought, what he could feel it in his gut. He could feel it in his gut, you know. Now the tolerance part comes in when we're, you know, all this other stuff about, okay, let's talk about this one for a while. Okay, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Well, what does professional mean? Professional means you get money, right? Okay, so I'm going to use the big B word right now. You know what the big B word is? Behandling. Okay. You know, if I buy, in the old days, in the 90s, if I bought a Nokia, what was it? Two a trace? I can't remember. These big green ones. Anyway, if I bought a Nokia, a Telering, and a blah, 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 and it brought, you know, I paid the money, you know, and then I got a year's guarantee, and they're all happy, and I'm happy, and it breaks, right? So I go to the guys at Telering, I say, my Nokia broke. He says, don't worry about it. Chill. We'll get you a new one. Okay, great. when they get me that new Nakia, should I be grateful for them? Should I thank them to the end of my days because they gave me? No, I had given them money. I mean, why should I? That was the guarantee. It wasn't anything that I should be grateful or I should be thankful. Sometimes I sit in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and this is just non-professional. Oh, I want to thank my Roy Giver, yabba dabba doo, up for hoopa hoopa. You know, and this is this, and I think, my God, are you naive? That man or woman was getting money. They were getting money to listen to your shit, you know, really. What the fuck are you talking about, you know? I mean, oh, and you know, yeah, but I said, wake up and smell the sunshine, baby. I mean, this is like money. This is a business. It's like your pusher. He's nice to you. He gets money. Then they do the pusher thing. You know, they say, well, you know how pushers be. Oh, you always got to wait, you know. They make you wait. They make you wait. Well, now I got to walk the dog. Now I'm going to, you got to sit and watch some stupid show on television. Well, you know, I just want to dope and go. You know, I don't want to, you know, don't fucking talk. You know, you do it. No. So anyway, this thing about non-professional. Now, I'm grateful to the program of Narcotics Anonymous because it's for free. Mm-hmm. You know? I've never been in therapy. Never been in therapy. Anything that I got in these rooms. Mm-hmm. So if I keep coming back to these rooms, that works therapeutic for me. If I keep hearing what Morton says about something, or Dan, or anybody, that works therapeutic for me. It's like one addict helping another. Okay, so back to, if one addict can help another addict, I think it's also about sharing. It's not just about doing a 12-step, you know, I don't care. You know, they had a debate, well, I hope they come back, blah, 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 and it's tough. And if they made it once, they'll make it again. I guess if you're relapsing, it's like a first kiss. There's only one first kiss. If you get clean, there's only one first clean. Coming back is more difficult. You know, people who say, well, it's you know, I've had 18,000 to Bayfelt, and I'm really, I say, God, man, Jesus Christ. I mean, the only thing, you know, in this fellowship, a lot of times people put a high price on clean time. And I think what happens, the difference between clean time is like, how long have you been associated with the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous? You know, like Maria, I've known Maria for, you know, in and out, 12 days to look at Maria, you know, and it's no fun to come back and, you know, when you've been, had some status as a clean addict. And, but why not? You know? This thing about sharing is, like, if some person who's new in the program, I'm not talking about, like, if they've been in the program once or ever, never. I mean, I think the whole length of the time you've been in the program is really what counts. It's like if you're walking to a post box, right? If, let's say, you want to send a present to your girlfriend or boyfriend, and it's a snowy and icy day. You know, a little hanky-panky, a little higher power, you know. So, you know, you're thinking about, oh, my God, I'm so in love. And all of a sudden, you know, you're on this four-tour, and it's icy, and you fall down, you know. Because we're not watching where we're going. You're thinking about hanky-panky. And, I mean, I don't know. So, the closer we, I mean, what do we, when we get up, do we start again back at where we, at our apartments, or do we get up where we fell? Well, we get up where we fell. That's obvious. I mean, if you make it to 50 meters to the post office, you don't start, like, back at your apartment, which is 300 meters away. That doesn't make any sense. So what's interesting about people who've had a relapse is they can grab that program again. You know, they have all that knowledge in their bags. They only have to go that 50 meters this time. They don't have to go that 300 meters this time, you know. They remember what it's like to be clean. They can remember what it's like to be in the program before and how good they felt. And what they want to do is they want to get that feeling back again. You know, they want to feel the love and the friendship in Narcotics Anonymous again. Okay. So sometimes we all do this, you know. Well, I just got out of treatment. I want to thank the commune and blah 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 for sending me there, and I want to thank my Roy Giver and everybody else for giving me a clean life. And I think, okay, you know, this person does not know because nobody's told them. I can see you guys are having the workshop here on the traditions, right? So what happens is, it's people who have sometime, who have been in this program for some length of time. When they share, the newcomer will hear it, you know. I got clean in an institution. Okay, what does that mean? Was that jail? Could be. Was it in a mental institute? Could be. Was it in a treatment center? Could be. But what I want to hear is when people say, well, whatever, I was in an institution and da-da-da-da-da. Now that really leaves the door open for everybody. You know, especially for this country is a very special thing, but it leaves the door open for wherever you came from. You know, I was in a facility or an institution. Well, great. You know, could have been a playa. Who knows? Who cares? It could have been McDonald's. That's an institution. I don't know. Whatever it is, there's no specific about it, you know, and that's what makes the difference, you know. Non-professional means we don't take what we do outside into these rooms. We don't take our what we do outside for whatever reason. You know, it's that thing again. Unless you can pull it in again, you know. Well, I'm a psychotherapist, Gestalt, NLP, this or that, you know, and stuff. Well, okay, you just did it. That person who's sitting there, that newcomer, might think that you have more insights to the program of Narcotics Anonymous than anybody else does because they have all these, you know, stuff like that. And you know, and when we come in here, it's just one addict over from another addict. You know, everybody is strength, hope, and courage. So I want to hear somebody who's, you know, really been fucked up. The more fucked up they've been, the more I'm listening. You know, all this kind of shit. You know, if you've been so down, so low, it doesn't get any lower. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear some girl who says, listen, I can't find out with this program. I've had 20 Tebefelts in the last year and pills and this higher power is a bunch of shit. That I could understand. That I listen to because this girl's got some experience, you know. And while she's in those rooms, she must know or feel something in her heart. You know, and what happens when we can hear when these people are genuine. You know, if they're really, really from the heart. Mm-hmm. This is what, because all us addicts, we live off that intuition, you know, our intuition. Our intuition tells us what to do, and then our doli samvidhi kicks in right away, and then we think, oh, I can't say that. So, when I wake up, I have a bad conscience every morning. I don't know, I always think I must have done something. Anyway. So what we have to do as addicts is we have to share. So they hear how to share. That's really, really important. It's really, really important. Because we hear a lot of stuff in Narcotics Anonymous that's not true. It's simply not true. They call it the myths of the fellowship. Well, you can't have any panky-panky for the first year. You got to get a dog and you got to get a plant. Where does it say that? I never saw that in Narcotics Anonymous. No hanky-panky? What, are you crazy? That's the most wacko thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, you know, if you're in a relationship, you know, it's not going to, you know, involve the chance of Tibet fellows. Well, where does it say that in Narcotics Anonymous? I never saw that. You know, I never saw any of that shit. Well, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Where did you hear that, you know? I never saw that. You know, show me in our basic text, where it works, how and why you can say this stuff, you know. Show me anything, especially the stuff about relationships. I know on the 6th of December, in Just For Today, it says relationships and being in love is a natural thing. Mm. The joy, they call it an elixir, right? and what they're saying is basically, as long as you have your priorities in place, you know, they say sometimes when you fall in love, you forget about your sponsor, or your friends in NA, or ba-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo, that's normal. But what it says, if your priorities are in place, it's okay to fall in love, but it's also okay to still go to meetings, you know, work the steps. It's not an either-or situation. So what's so brilliant about this program is, it just opens that door to, you know, the thing is, we're in this B-words place sometimes, And, you know, and girls are looking at girls and guys are looking at guys, or girls are looking at guys and guys are looking at girls. Whatever gets you off, you know, smear behave. And you know, and the Roy Gamer says, they're flocked. I thought I was just horny. No. It's a flood, man. You can't, you know, this is like, this is really bad what you're doing, because you can't, you know, trust, you know, you shouldn't fall in love or whatever, because, you know. So then all of a sudden you come out of treatment or whatever it is, you're at your institution, and you think you're doing something wrong when you're with somebody. Because that guy or girl told you it was wrong, you know, because it was a flute. For me, there's really only one flute. That, just to keep it simple. Oh, don't lift weights. It's a flute. What are these guys talking about? You heard that, Morgan, haven't you? That's so stupid, man. You know, where a better place to be than at a gym working out, pumping some iron, feeling good about yourself? That's great. As long as we don't take any crude, then it's okay, you know. So, you know, and they're telling us, so what happens is, the stuff that they're telling these people causes shame. So if you do fall in love, or are just horny, or whatever, then you feel shameful that you're doing something wrong. So what happens is, it works as a double shame. Well, I'm doing something wrong because I'm attracted to the Bostedekunde and the Samkud Smeir Behei, and they're telling me about it, I should be doing this. You know, because it's like, not, I should be concentrating on calling my sponsor 200 times a week and doing the steps for, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and heba-heba-heba, and you can't fall in love unless you learn to love yourself. I said, where do they get this stuff? Who made this up? I mean, make people feel bad, you know. It's like, punish me, you know. God, I tell you, man, it's so crazy. It is so crazy. You know, how can we look down on love? We can't. How can you feel bad about feeling what you're feeling? It's impossible. Mm. You know, that's the higher power working through us. You know? Mm. I think that's what it's about. Okay, back to this thing about professional. So we can't take our jobs in here. We cannot do that. Mm. We can't say, well, you know, oh, because people, especially the newcomers, will think that you have more insights about law or doctors or health cost or Herbalife or working in a treatment center or whatever, you know. I think basically what happens why they hire addicts in the treatment center is because they pay them shit, you know. That's basically what it is. And then I hear these people who are working there, and they're working like a weekend vac from like 5 in the afternoon on Friday till like Monday morning. I'm thinking, man, these guys should be out. We should fucking kick the shit out of these motherfuckers. How can they treat other people that way, you know, in a treatment center when you're alone and there's nobody there and they're paying you? They're not giving you any tillegs, are they? You don't get weekend tillegs, do you? Nah, you remember. You know, you think, oh, God, they really must think I'm a spiritual person. I must have so much to give. That's why they hired me. No, they just knew that I was dumb as a fucking piece of shit to fall for that crap. That's not the way to treat other people. We look up to these guys who own this thing, and they're in it for one reason, the money. There's nothing spiritual about owning a treatment center and helping other people. There's money and drugs, whether you sell them or you sell recovery. It doesn't make any difference. It's still the same. You're still selling the same shit, you know. It's just the other side of the coin. So what happens is, this word professional, we have to really be conscious of it. We have to be conscious of it, so when we share, and the newcomer hears what we share, then that's what they're going to do. When we say the word institution, maybe think, maybe I should use the word institution. When I'm thanking my higher power, my sponsor, and NA's fellowship, well, that sounds really good. I guess I don't really hear too many people thanking the Roy Giver. Maybe I should avoid that. You know? So this is, I think, one addict helping another. You know, this is what keeps the fellowship together. This is the unity of what's going down. I'm going to take a quick little look here. Okay, the primary purpose. I used to. People used to say, "Eric, why do you go to these meetings?" I say, "Oh, I go to get clean." Yeah, that's true. I was wrong. or stately. I was wrong. It says so right there. What's our primary purpose? Well, to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. To carry the message that why we are here, there's only one promise. To get clean. That's all it says. It's so easy. You know, if you come here, you do the shit, find a sponsor. Let me ask you something. Does sponsor have to be the same sex? No. I mean, we hear this. Well, you know, I mean, God, you can't. I always, you know, I would love to have had Carmen Diaz as my sponsor, but I don't know if she's in the fellowship to tell you. But anyway, you know, I mean, and I hear, and I ran into it, I guess it was about 2 years ago, and I'm at a meeting, and I knew this woman, and she had a guy as a sponsor. I thought, phew, man, that's a big no-no. I mean, God will open, he'll shoot you for doing that shit, you know. Turned out that, and I was thinking, but it doesn't say anything. Our literature does not say anything about having, maybe it's for nufti, but what are you going to do sometimes? You know, I know it sounds crazy, but it's sort of these things we have to think about what our literature says, or what are the myths of Narcotics Anonymous? What are the myths that we have heard and we still go, we buy into it. We buy into it. Well, I think what happens is what we have people here like Thomas or Dorda who have lots and lots of experience. And what we do is what the newcomer helping another act is listen to the way they share. That's the most important thing. It doesn't have to be a life story every time. You know, I'm at a meeting. My most favorite meetings, there's one in Jersey City. I went to this meeting, it was so crazy. And I was at a meeting in St. Mark's Place, and this is like the craziest meeting I ever went to. I think there was like 300 recovering crack and junks. Anyway, they were selling dope at the meeting. This was so wild, right? Because by the time you got off out of the taxi or walked there, by the time you got into the door, man, it was like a supermarket, you know? And then when you walked into the location, they were still selling drugs in there. I thought, this is great. You know, I'm at the right place. Anyway, they had a yellow line, and you couldn't sell drugs on the other side of the line. Right? That was like an unsaid rule. And I thought, this is really cool. But what's interesting is how quickly... Okay, I'm going to make it more... Okay, I was at Blowgore's Gate 3 weeks ago. I was visiting my son. He lives in Nürburgring. And I said, oh, fuck, man, I got to go to these meetings. I love going to Blowgore Gate, right? And, man, they were good. They had shortened some stuff down, you know. They had shortened some stuff down in the way they read the first four chapters of Narcotics Anonymous. So it was like what they were trying to do. I was talking to Thomas about this. They were compressing that opening stuff, you know, with firing clean time and reading the stuff and getting it more compact, which was opening the door for more sharing. And I thought, that is really smart. And they were good at it, you know. Sometimes in Aarhus, well, I like my meeting. Sometimes it's a little bit too roomy, but it's okay, you know. You know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, if it's under a year or 2 years, fine. But, you know, when you get these old-timers who have to fire every minute of their clean time, you know, we all know that they've got like 1,000 years and stuff like that. It's great. But then all of a sudden that takes away from something else. So we have to be aware of this, getting this common sense back of what is important for us. What's important for us is to focus on the structure of the meeting, that atmosphere of recovery, the atmosphere of sharing about maybe what the topic is. You know, maybe there's people who have come from Esbjerg to Aarhus to hear about a topic or to hear somebody speak or to hear about the traditions or whatever it is or a step. Maybe they're working on the same step. You know, look, what month is it? Oh, it's April, so four. Oh, that's the fourth step. I'm working on the fourth step. Maybe I should go to Aarhus and listen to what they're saying about the fourth step. You know, I don't think it's the right place to hear about your husband who's had 18,000 to Bayfels and beat, you know, it's sad, but it's, you know, maybe those people, but we have to do it in a loving way. That's what I was trying to say. You know, by working these steps, we don't have to, like, talk to these people and say, it's just like saying, listen, it's great you're here. Keep coming back. You know, I know you have a lot of experience. I know you have a lot to share about. Nobody can tell you what to do as far as your relationship goes. I think you should talk to a woman who's probably been in the same situation. And maybe she has some experience that she can tell you about what she did. And she sells hand weapons, by the way, anyway. So buy some, shoot your guy in the head or something. But anyway, what I've discovered was, and this happened at Blogor's Gate too, when the people really were aware, and you think, to, you know, I remember, what was this? This is so crazy. There was this guy, I think, I don't know where he was from, he was writing, oh, people were selling whatever they were selling in front of Blogor's Gate, you know, hot cigarettes or gold or whatever. You know, he thought that was a scandal. I thought that was cool. Anyway, but the thing was, it had, and you know, so my sponsor says, you know, well, listen, at least they're coming to the meetings. You know, what the hell? Well, if they do out on the street, that's their business. We can't tell, we can maybe tell somebody don't buy those cigarettes because they're hot, which nobody will do anyway. So why are you getting so worked up about it? Take it easy. At least these people are coming to the meeting. Maybe they'll hear something on the day they're there to sell whatever they're going to sell out on the street. Maybe they're, as long as it's not drugs, it might be. But they're going to hear something. So it's okay. How can we condemn other people? How can we say what's right or wrong for other people as far as their behavior goes, you know? I can't tell other people how. You know, I have to have this thing with my sponsees. I said, okay, listen, there's one thing, you know, if you could call me, if you don't call me, don't feel bad. If I don't call you, don't feel bad. And I'm not a marriage counselor. If you have anything to do, I said, I can't tell you. I don't know. What if I told you the wrong thing? I'd feel terrible. What if you listen to what I say, a fucked up ex-junkie, and I did what my sponsor said. Well, what if it was the wrong thing? What if it was the wrong thing? Right. Anyway, how much longer is there now? 8:30? Okay. So what we want to be aware of is the spiritual side of the 12 traditions. That's the other leg. If we're walking through this rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we want to walk with two legs. I think it's really, really cool you're having a workshop here on the traditions. I think this is an area of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's not difficult. It's not like, you know, and people aren't going to beat you up if you break the traditions, or if a newcomer comes from, you know, some kind of institution and doesn't know this shit, it's like, they will figure it out if they keep coming back, you know. They'll figure it out if they keep coming back and listen to what people are just sharing about. Anyway, my name is Eric. I'm an addict. If I said anything that, you know, upset you, blame me. If I said anything you like, just give thanks to my higher power. Thank you.